The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting Dota birds and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching us on YouTube, please smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. If you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, please knock that out while you're here. Okay, let's get into it. Dead leg. At this moment, there are exactly 13 undefeated teams left in the sport. Consider this an episode opening trivia time. Without looking, without cheating, can you name all 13 still undefeated teams?
I don't know if I can do that, but I can say right off the top, you are incorrect.
Mm-mm-mm. What?
There are 12.
Somebody just lost?
I saw KenPom about an hour ago. Southern Miss lost. So if Southern Miss is on the list, they are not.
Okay, let's start this over. Delete everything. God, I had notes on Southern Miss and everything. Those sons of bitches.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. 12. There are 12 undefeated teams left in the sport. Thanks a lot, Southern Miss. Can you name all 12?
Okay, let's go here. Purdue. Virginia. Houston. UConn, Auburn, that's five, right?
That's five, right.
Okay. I'm trying to think who you'd have top your rankings here. What obvious ones?
There's two more that are in the current AP top 25.
Oh, that's it. Only two more.
Just two more. Yeah, the rest of them are outside.
Side note, did UCLA, I know they're not, did UCLA beat Oregon? I was putting my kids to bed. Did they win that game?
UCLA did beat Oregon. Okay. Mick Cronin continues to be on pace to really put it out of reach that he's not only the greatest UCLA coach of all time, but he will remain that no matter who follows. Nice victory for the Bruins.
Two in the top 25. You've got, did I say Texas?
You didn't, but that's one of them, obviously. Good.
Maryland's ranked, right?
Maryland is ranked. Okay. So that is seven of them.
I know
Houston,
another one.
Texas, UConn, Purdue, Virginia, Auburn, Maryland. The rest of these, there are one, two, three, four, five left. They're all outside of the AP poll right now, but I do believe at least one of them is going in the AP poll tomorrow.
I know which one it is. And the only reason why I know this one is because I did my power rankings. And I was like, there's no way I can keep this team out. I know Mississippi State's one of them unless they've lost in the past 6 hours.
Mississippi State is undefeated. Mississippi State should be in the AP poll tomorrow on Monday. More on them in a moment. You got four left.
I mean, GP, if they're out, all mid-majors?
No. One is an SEC school.
Oh.
One is
Missouri. Missouri
with Dennis Gates remains undefeated. Yep. More on them later, perhaps. And the other three are what you would consider west of the Mississippi. And at least two of them have had, real basketball tradition.
All right. Three left. We're already down to 12. Man, tomorrow will mark 4 weeks essentially since the start of the season, and we only got 12 unbeatens left. Two with real basketball tradition. Oh, well, first of all, as we record this, I remember that I mentioned this on the Friday podcast. Utah State was undefeated. So Utah State's one of them because they play later tonight against San Francisco. So as we record this, that's still true, right?
That's right. Utah State is one of them.
But that's not one of the other two that have basketball tradition, right?
No, the other two have real basketball tradition. I mean, one has won a national championship.
Two west of the Mississippi.
You ready for this? One of them has won a national championship. The other one is currently coached. Nope. One of them has won a national championship, and the other one is coached by the son of a person who has won a national championship.
Wait a second. One's won a title, and one is coached by. I hope guess away in the chat because I'm not watching the chat in case anyone's giving away. All right, one has won a title, and the other one is. Say that again.
Coached by a person whose father has won a national championship. They're both coached by sons of prominent college basketball coaches who also coached in the NBA.
New Mexico
is undefeated under Richard Pitino, son of Rick Pitino.
Oh, man.
And the other one is a program that has won a national title. It is coached by the son of a former college coach who also coached in the NBA, and his father coached at this school.
Dude, is UNLV undefeated right now?
UNLV is 8-0 undefeated under Kevin Kruger, son of Lon Kruger, who coached at UNLV, a lot of different places, including the NBA. So of the 12 undefeated teams, 7 of them are in the current AP poll. One of them, Mississippi State, should enter Monday's AP poll, and the other 4 are undefeated, but lacking, if we're being honest, anything resembling a big signature win that would make most people notice. I do want to, and there's a reason I led us down this path, spend a second shining a spotlight on a couple of these teams because they represent where I'm most currently out of step with AP voters. You know, Maryland is 22nd in the current AP poll. The Terrapins are surely going to move up when this updates on Monday. Mississippi State currently unranked in the AP poll, though I do believe the Bulldogs are going to enter the AP poll on Monday. Would you believe, and I know you don't look at these, so the shock I'm anticipating should be fun. I currently have Maryland at number 8 and Mississippi State at number 9 in the top 25 and 1. In a world where most of the perceived best teams have lost to teams comparable to some of the teams Maryland and Mississippi State have beaten, Maryland and Mississippi State remain undefeated and in possession of fast-riding computer numbers. I'm happy to reward them. Am I crazy or am I not as crazy as some might think?
That is quite Norlander power rankings of you, and I endorse that entirely because I can't promise, but I almost feel like if I get to, because I do those Wednesday night, they publish every Thursday, and what GP does with his daily rankings, I do a little bit differently with the power rankings. I try and reward more. GP tends to get more resume-based, and I look at some of that, but I'm more, how good have you been in recent weeks? Like, it's more of a hot trend list, which teams are playing well in the past, you know, X number of games. That being said, if Maryland and Mississippi State can keep a bagel in the loss column by the time Thursday gets here, I would expect that I would put both of them in the top 10 there. And yeah, Maryland, you know, the game was Friday night. So this is a more loaded podcast, by the way, than I would have anticipated us having, but we have a ton to get to here. And yeah, a light deserves to be shined on both these programs. Quick on Mississippi State. Chris Jans, we talked about it on the podcast, and then, you know, it was written about, tweeted about, talked about. That was just seen as a hire that was made a ton of logical sense, although I did fade it in year one. I didn't think that they would be immediately a factor, and who knows? We got plenty of time to go here, but he is knocking it out of the park right now, similar to how Dennis Gates is doing. Strength of schedules aren't exactly the same there, and I would say that because of Mississippi State's defense overall. It's been with Missouri, it's been offense. Mississippi State's been on the defensive side. A couple of really nice stories to start. We'll see if those two SEC programs can keep it going there. From a resume perspective, Mississippi State is stronger. But from Maryland, to get off to this strong of a start, it is a, I mean, it's a gravy train kind of start, man. That was a really fun watch on Friday night. It was a better watch than the Gonzaga-Baylor game, which, of course, we'll get to here in a little bit. But Jameer Young going for 24 points, getting that huge three late to get Maryland the win. Hakeem Hart went 5 of 6 from three-point range. And Dante Scott has a seemingly never-ending battery. Kevin Willard seems to have found something pretty good. We can get to the schedule in just a second. I don't know how much longer Maryland can last without a loss. If it does, then we really are going to have something there. But it was a huge home environment. I think I mentioned this on the pod Friday. It was, you know, the most anticipated home game since February 29. Yes, it was a leap year, 2020. I went down there for that game against Michigan State. That was a season in which Maryland started that season also 8-0, 9-0, 10-0. That was, you know, the last good Turgeon team. And that was an awesome environment that night, and certainly a very competitive game. They showed up big, you know, obviously a little bit, not weird, but, you know, they didn't used to have conference games in the first week of December the way they do now. And the reason is because conferences have swelled to the point where, in order to justify having 20 league games, which I don't like, but it's what they're going to do, 20 league games means you're going to have to scoot in a couple on the front end, which is what the Pac-12 is doing right now. The Big Ten has done as well. And a byproduct of that is that you've got, you know, Maryland, Illinois was not expected to be a must-see kind of game at this point in the season, but both those teams have started off really strong, and so we were actually treated to a nice little twin bill between Gonzaga, Baylor, and then Maryland-Illinois on Friday, and I thought Maryland-Illinois was the superior watch, and good stuff on the Terps. What about you, GP?
Well, I just want to run you through Maryland, because you know, I do think the AP poll is going to move Maryland up pretty significantly, you know, because it recorded a significant win on Friday. I don't know that they'll go as high as I've gone, but they'll be close, I would assume, the AP voters. With Mississippi State, I still think we're going to be separated because Mississippi State doesn't have some big win. But I do want to walk you through the resumes just to sort of try to explain the justification. You know, Maryland right now is 8-0, got wins over Illinois, St. Louis, Miami. That's three wins over top 45 KenPom teams. And so I've got the Terrapins up to 8th in the top 25 and one after Creighton, which was ahead of both Maryland and Mississippi State, lost on Sunday, and we'll get to that. Maryland, for what it's worth, started 56th at KenPom and is now up to 20th. So that's a 36 spot move to the good since the start of the season. They aren't only undefeated, they are playing and performing really well. And so if you're a Maryland fan, you got to be thrilled with how this is going under Kevin Willard. And you're exactly right. It is unclear how long the Terps are going to be able to keep that zero in the loss column. But if they do keep it in there for three more games, then if there are any skeptics at this point, they will no longer exist. Because up next for Maryland, it's Tuesday at Wisconsin. And that's a Wisconsin team that just, you know, went to Marquette and won. Then next Sunday, Maryland will play Tennessee in Brooklyn, because there's no better way to ensure a boring atmosphere for a college basketball game than to put it inside Barclays Center on a Sunday afternoon in December. So that'll be that. And then Maryland has UCLA at home on December 14th. So that's the next three games: at Wisconsin, neutral with Tennessee, home against UCLA. If Maryland goes from 8-0 to 11-0, like I said, there will be no remaining skeptics in everybody. We'll have Maryland in the top 10 by then. As for Mississippi State, 8-0. Got a win over the Marquette team that smashed Baylor, and a win over the Utah team that smashed Arizona. So that's two wins over top 50 KenPom teams that own wins over top 20 KenPom teams. And it's why I've got the Bulldogs all the way up to 9th in the top 25 and one. You know, Baylor beat Gonzaga, UCLA, but couldn't beat the Marquette team that Mississippi State beat. Arizona beat Creighton, San Diego State, but couldn't beat the Utah team that Mississippi State beat. Now, when framed that way, this 8-0 start for Chris Jans looks pretty impressive, even if I can acknowledge, you know, it does lack a big signature win to date. Beyond that, some other numbers, and you touched on Mississippi State's defense. You know, they are right now 8th nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency, Mississippi State is, according to both KenPom and Bart Torvik. So they're really guarding, and they have improved 44 spots at Bart Torvik and 28 spots at KenPom since the beginning of the season. They are now, Mississippi State, 25th at KenPom, 33rd at Bart Torvik. So, you know, when you combine that with the fact that Mississippi State projects as a favorite in each of its next five games, you know, the Bulldogs could reasonably be 13-0 under first-year coach Chris Jans heading into a January 3rd game at Tennessee. I'm not necessarily predicting it. I'm just saying if they perform the way they've been performing consistently, they should win the next five and be 13-0. And at that point, really at this point, but certainly at that point, they will have solidified themselves as one of the better teams in the SEC and look like they're headed, you know, and a season can take a lot of twists and turns, but they'll certainly be well on their way to making the NCAA tournament under a first-year coach. And by the way, there's a list of like first-year coaches who are doing pretty well this season, all things considered. Expectations for these programs were different here or there, but right now there are five coaches in their first years at new jobs with top 40 KenPom teams. Are you up for another trivia time this early?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if your brain can handle it.
I'm looking. I was real quick. So you think Mississippi State's going to get to 12-0?
I think they can. I think they're going to be favored in their next five games.
They got to go to Minnesota. They got a game against Drake on a neutral. They got a good shot. I'll say they get one loss. But I was just looking at their schedule while you were doing that. So, yeah, throw that trivia time at me right now. Something about first-year coach.
Yeah, and my main thing with Mississippi State is that, you know, they don't have this massive win, but they do have multiple wins over teams that are comparable to the teams, you know, a lot of teams, you know, perceived really good teams in this country have lost to. Like I had a list earlier, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Arizona, Baylor, North Carolina have all already lost to teams that are comparable to a Marquette or a Utah. So when you're undefeated and you haven't lost to a team like that by definition, then I'm going to pay attention to that, particularly when the computer numbers don't necessarily support top 10, but certainly highlight how you are outperforming all reasonable expectations and certainly heading in the right direction. So I'm a believer in Mississippi State right now. And obviously, based on this conversation, you know that Kevin Willard and Chris Jans are two of the five coaches in their first years at schools that have their teams in the top 40 at KenPom right now. So really what I'm saying is, can you name the other three?
Sean Miller.
Sean Miller is certainly one of them. Xavier is 31st at KenPom right now.
Shire.
John Shire. Duke is 18th at KenPom right now.
There's only one more?
And then we've already mentioned we've mentioned it already. Dennis Gates. I'm not going to drag it out. Dennis Gates at Missouri. Missouri's 30.
Yeah, it's not dragging out because I don't know if I would have gone that high. Although they were preseason top 40, so maybe I should have done that, but yeah.
Yeah, so let me make sure it's still there, that they didn't drop out after this game. They did. They're improving to 9-0, dropped them from 39th to 47th. Dennis Gates is headed in the wrong direction, Missouri fans. 3 hours ago, they were in the top 40. And now look, barely in the top 50. I can't believe these people had to live through the Kim Anderson era and now this.
Well, the reason that is they were projected to win by a certain amount and then they fell well short of that. So they dropped in predictive efficiency. That's all.
All right. So both my trivia times are flawed.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're in midseason form right now.
Here's the thing with Missouri. It's still 9-0, and then I'll turn it over to you. They do have a win over Wichita State, but that's it. And I don't know how good Wichita State is. So they don't have great wins, only one top 100 KenPom win. But boy, they got a big one on tap. Mizzou is hosting Kansas next Saturday in the border showdown. And KenPom projects this as a close game. It's got it right now as a final projected score of Kansas 80, Missouri 77. So that building is going to be lit, as they say, with the Jayhawks in town. And if Missouri is to win that one and improve to 10-0, then I think Missouri certainly cracks the top 25 and probably finds itself back in the top 40 at KenPom.
Then they got themselves a stew. There's no doubt about it. Illinois fans, we'll talk your matchup real quick at the end of the show, but I'm going to be there Tuesday night at the Garden to see them in person for the Jimmy V. Coleman Hawkins is an NBA player as far as I'm concerned, and Terrence Shannon Jr. has been, I think, even better than anticipated. That was a good run you gave Maryland. That's the only thing I got GP on that one. It was a really fun watch. Maryland came out with the win, and now, it's got at Wisconsin, Tennessee on the neutral of neutral. Actually, that might not be so neutral. Maryland fans will get up there. So they'll actually have a slight advantage, even though it is a neutral court. And then they will host UCLA the next Wednesday. So real quick before we move on, next three games, over under 1.5 wins for the Turtles. What are you saying, GP? That's at Wisconsin, Tennessee on a neutral, hosting UCLA, over under 1.5 victories for Maryland in its next three games for the undefeated as of now, Terrapins.
That's tough.
Do like 1-2 is not.
I know.
1-2 is not bad in that stretch. I mean,
there's
like
the Colts that are still teams. Yeah, in that stretch with Tennessee and UCLA as of right now.
Yeah, and the Kohl Center. Like, the Kohl Center is still the Kohl Center, you know?
I'm not taking... Listen, we know our
boss. It's not Pinnacle Bank. It's not Pinnacle Bank. Nobody calls the Kohl Center Pinnacle Bank, all right? I'm not trying to overstate it. But it is the Kohl Center. I think 1-2 is likely. I think 2-1 is... Well, obviously 3-0 is possible, but I'm doubtful.
Any of these 0-3, 1-2, 2-1,
everything's possible. 0-3 to 3-0, everything in between is possible. I think 1-2 is the most likely. Without looking at any computers, I would say 1-2 is the most likely scenario. If you're a Maryland fan and you could take 2-1 right now, and I could tell you that through 11 games you'd be 11-1, you'd take in a second.
If I say I'm giving you 2-1 or you're chancing the schedule, you're taking 2-1 every time. And let's be honest, many a Maryland fan, we know you. We're familiar with you. On some level, many of you are like, yeah, you know what? If we go 1-2, like, I'll just take it. Because you've just been so beaten down. Like, oh, we get that. But there's a lot to be inspired with your team right now and what Willard's been able to do. But I think 1-2, and whatever. At that point, you'd be 9-2 through the meat of your non-con schedule. You would absolutely take that, and you'll still be in a really healthy spot heading into Christmas.
So, as noted, there are 12 undefeated teams still remaining in Division I basketball. North Carolina ain't one of them. Gonzaga ain't one of them. Rough stuff for the Tar Heels and Zags, top two teams in the preseason AP poll. They both took another loss this weekend. We'll get to that next. But first, a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A reminder, if you want, you can now email the show, shouts2cbs@gmail.com. Shouts2cbs@gmail.com. We are loving the responses we've gotten, the emails, the correspondence, the questions. Continue sending them. You can send in a video if you'd like, 10 to 15 second video. Ask a question, name, city, town, get out. We'll try and drop those in going forward on the show, on the YouTube channel. Continue to send us stuff. We love hearing from you. And thank you as always for subscribing.
I love the soccer promos.
Yeah.
Right in the middle
of the World Cup. If you're an old schooler listening on the podcast, I don't know if you're getting the soccer promos, but they've actually become more relevant and timely as we've gone on with, although Pulisic and the United States are now out of it. But yes, the promos are, they're a good little visual break for the YouTubers.
You know, I was thinking about, because my whole life, and we'll get to basketball in a second, but my whole life we've been talking about, you know, trying to become a soccer power in the United States. And we just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to do it. And as I was watching this weekend, it just sort of occurred to me that maybe the best way to do it is to,
kidnap Kylian Mbappe.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're searching for an international crime now. You've yes. graduated. You've elevated purely from why am I blanking here? What was it before?
Blackmail? I was no. What was it? What was it? Horrible. I was an expert in. Yeah,
like GP, you have gone from extortion to kidnapping.
Yes, there we go. I'm on a slippery slope here. one day, I'm just trying to extort a basketball coach. The next day, I'm trying to kidnap Kylian Mbappe. But boy, he's great. You know, I wish he were American.
Yeah, yeah.
I spent all Saturday wishing Kylian Mbappe was an American.
Yeah,
you know how if you watch the World Cup enough, these guys are constantly where you think they should be able to score from, and then they just don't score. They don't even shoot. You know, you watch that. You see that too. Like you're like, oh wow, he's probably about to score, and then he doesn't even shoot. And I'm sure he has his reasons, but like my point is this: Mbappe scores from those places where these other guys don't even try. He just scores from all these places, like all by himself.
We got to get you on our soccer pod. Clearly, this kind of analysis.
What if they bring me on the soccer pod and I'm like, listen, I admit up front, I don't watch this stuff as much as you guys do, but it seems like if we just had a Kylian Mbappe, we'd be all right. Seems like we're one Mbappe away.
Exactly. All right. North Carolina Gonzaga. Let's get to it.
Still thinking about Kylian Mbappe. Okay.
You do that. Let me go into this here. Carolina and Gonzaga
both took losses this weekend. Gonzaga lost again Friday night, this time to Baylor. Shouts to Huck, shouts to McKenzie, Payton, and Brody. North Carolina lost again Sunday afternoon, this time to Virginia Tech. Shouts to Bimbo Coles, shouts to Malcolm Delaney. So UNC is now 5-4. Gonzaga's 5-3. If my math is correct, Deadleg, that means the teams that were ranked first and second in the preseason AP poll are now a combined 10-7. Here's the question. Are you concerned about one of these teams, neither of these teams, or both of these teams?
First of all, you still won't give Eric Green love on this podcast, and that ends tonight.
I can't. That is the most outrageous individual word I've ever heard of.
It's not his fault.
It is his fault.
Don't punish the guy who received it, all right? You don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to Friday's episode 2. No, I'm serving this right back to you. What's the bigger deal? Carolina at 5-4 or Gonzaga at 5-3? Gonzaga hasn't lost this many games to this part of a season since 2010-2011.
And Gonzaga hasn't lost three of its first five games. Let me make sure I've got it right.
Three of its first eight.
Gonzaga hasn't lost. Yeah. I believe it was the 2002-2003 season. Is the last time Gonzaga lost three of its first eight games. And for what it's worth.
No, it was 2010-2011. Yeah, 2010-2011.
Come on, man. If I'm wrong about this one, I'm just going to get out of here. And you got my
bad right now.
We're going to text Kyle Boone.
2010-2011. 2010-2011. Gonzaga started 4-5.
Okay.
It was 4-3.
2010-2011. Gonzaga. Yeah. God damn it.
Bad. You're bad.
Maybe drinking and prepping at the same time ain't the best idea, you know?
You lost right now. What's the bigger deal? Gonzaga start or Carolina start?
I'm just really disappointed in my trivia time execution today. I feel a little bit like Kentucky on offense. Like, I just don't know.
We're getting there, too.
Hopefully, me and Kentucky both going to get better going forward, you know? I think the bigger deal is North Carolina, and I don't even think it's close. And that's because Gonzaga, like six of Gonzaga's first eight games have been against top 35 KenPom teams. Beat Kentucky, Xavier, Michigan State. That's the teams ranked 5th, 31st, 36th at KenPom. As far as I know, maybe not. I don't know. The losses are to Texas, Purdue, Baylor. Those are the teams ranked 2nd, 5th, and 6th in the most recent AP poll as of Sunday night. So, sure, Gonzaga is off to a disappointing 5-3 start. That is true, and that is one way to look
your
at it.
Another way to look at it. You had Gonzaga higher than North Carolina. That's why I'm asking you this question.
I still do have Gonzaga higher than North Carolina.
So validated.
But how about this? Here's another way to describe the Zag season so far. They got three quality wins, zero embarrassing losses through their first eight games, which is still better than something like 98 or 99% of the teams in the sport. So I'm not too concerned about Gonzaga. I think the truth, here's the truth about Gonzaga. Probably not as good as they've been. Probably not as good as some of us assume they'd be. But still is a good, legitimate, like top 20 college basketball team. I'm not sure that's true about North Carolina right now.
Well, I told you you shouldn't have had North Carolina ranked, and now obviously you won't, but they shouldn't have been ranked a few days ago because they hadn't proved it. Now, let's talk Carolina. I got a note on Gonzaga, but we'll loop back. We'll wrap that with Baylor. So, Baycott, obviously, Armando Baycott did not play. Right shoulder contusion. Happened in the Indiana game. He wasn't on. Also, why I wanted to ask you this, because Carolina was not at full strength. Now, if he's on the floor, does Carolina win? Actually, maybe. Justin Mutz went off in this game. He's the sort of sleeper for ACC tournament first team come March. He had 27 points on Sunday, showed a variety of moves, and acting as sort of like the wind in Virginia Tech sails in this game, GP. Like, no Baycott on the floor is part of why he thrived, undeniably. Have to believe if Armando Baycott is healthy and playing on Sunday for Carolina, Justin Mutz isn't going for 27. If he's not doing that, VT might still win, but Carolina would have had a better shot there. So you didn't have Baycott. And then they also announced, by the way, DeMarco Dunn, not a major factor on this team, but he's got a broken bone in his right hand. He's going to be out for several weeks. So they just don't have another player. They're already dealing kind of with depth issues. I did think it was asking a lot for UNC to go into Virginia Tech in this spot and get a win. This is a Virginia Tech that also bumped Carolina out of the ACC tournament last March. I was there in Brooklyn when that happened. I actually thought UNC had a good second half for the most of it without Baycott, like B plus, A minus kind of effort overall. They sliced into an 18-point deficit, made the game close in the final few minutes. But you could also say that if you're an elite team, you shouldn't be finding yourself down by 18. I get that as well. Nance Love and RJ Davis each had 18 apiece. Leaky Black, he's got to do better than scoring 2 points. He'd admit that if he was on the pod right now. He's just got to be better. And UNC's terrible from three, man. UNC was 3 of 17 from three-point range. It's now shooting 29% from beyond the arc through nine games. Last season, Carolina finished 35.8% from three-point range. A lot of coaches will tell you that's about that 35% mark. That's what you're hoping to be from deep. Like, that's it's if you can be better than that, obviously, but like, you don't want to be too much worse. Just short of that is manageable. Sub 30% can be extremely detrimental, and it's one of many issues with North Carolina right now. It's at 29.2% from three-point range. Caleb Love has taken 61 three-pointers and made only 16 of them. His 26.2% three-point accuracy mark is identical to RJ Davis, who's now 11 for 42 from three-point range. So, yeah, man. Like, Carolina, it's a problem right now. I asked this on Twitter. I still don't have an answer. I don't know. It's, you know, maybe a research department's looking this up and we'll know it. Or if you know it, like, they were the preseason number one team. They're going to be unranked in the fifth week of the regular season. So I don't know if that's ever happened before. Has a preseason number one performed so poorly that by the fifth AP top 25 poll. So there's a preseason poll. That's the first poll. And then the first 4 weeks of the season are weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5. So by the fifth poll, have we ever had a preseason number one team fall out? I do not know. What I do know is this. There has not been, and I'm not going there yet, but I'm just at least bringing this up because I did look it up. Since the field expanded, Parrish, in 85, every preseason number one team has made the tournament. Everyone has made the tournament there. 74-75 NC State went 22-6 and didn't make it in a 32-team field. A little bit of a different era there, obviously. I still think Carolina's going to be in the tournament, but you start 5-4, you play the way you're playing, certainly UNC fans are going to start wondering, like, can we get this done? You're going to have more opportunities, although in the ACC, it's going to kind of be like last season. Like, you'll have some. It's not going to be a top three league in the country. So I agree with you. Carolina's the bigger deal right now. It's the bigger story coming out of the weekend, even if we're not that surprised. And, like, Carolina was not necessarily expected to win the game. Gonzaga was expected, but to me, UNC's the bigger deal.
In Monday morning's update, obviously, I do have Carolina out of the top 25 and one. You know, they've played now four top 75 KenPom teams and lost to every one of them. And you mentioned Baycott not playing. There was another interesting quote attributed to Hubert Davis during the game. First off, the game was interesting because it felt like Virginia Tech was just going to run away with it. the way people just ran away from Carolina last December and January. And the announcers, I believe Randolph Childress was one of them, were like, they kept talking about it. And they'd be like, yeah, you know, like Virginia just looks like, and Carolina can't do this. And then they'd say, you know, but there's still a long way to go, or it's not over. It was, but like, it sounded like they didn't believe that. They were just saying it, you know, like, but don't leave us. We go, you know, there's still time. But it didn't sound like they believed it. And I don't know that I believed it either. But Carolina did come back and make it competitive. And so that is some fight, if you're looking for some good. That is some fight that they showed on Sunday that they didn't show in December and January of last year in certain moments. So again, if you're trying to take a positive, maybe that's it. Here's the comment that was interesting. The announcing crew, the broadcast crew, was talking about Baycott. This is pretty early in the game. Or now it may have been maybe close to halftime, maybe even early in the second half. After, because initially UNC just announced Armando Baycott will not start. But he did go through warm-ups, and he was in uniform. So it was like, okay, maybe they'll bring him off the bench. But then it became clear he's just not playing. And the crew said that they talked to Hubert about it yesterday, maybe, or earlier today. And that Hubert told them, and I don't know, that just sort of stood out to me, that Baycott isn't injured. He's just sore. And it comes after this other quote following the Indiana game where Hubert said the difference in the game was Trace Jackson Davis. Right now, Indiana's got a guy in the front court that they can run offense through and get points on every possession. And we just don't have that in our front court right now. I'm paraphrasing, but that is more or less what he said. So there's been, and then this one, I'm assuming according to Armando Baycott, he is too hurt to play. But according to the announcers, Hubert stopped short of calling him hurt or injured. He actually said, again, this is according to the announcers, that Baycott is sore, not hurt. Perhaps a distinction without a difference, but it sounded odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, this was a big spot. Maybe, you know, it might have just tried to give it a go and couldn't give it a go because, yeah, I actually have since deleted it in my inbox because there was a note from Carolina information before the game. And I think the hope was that he would be able to play, but you also got to get him right here. I mean, UNC's, you know, it's not an absolute must win, but like I assume they have finals now because they don't have any games until Saturday and they're home against Georgia Tech. Like you got to beat Georgia Tech, man. Like you got to beat Georgia Tech and they should. And then they got Citadel, but they've still got Ohio State and Michigan on the non-con before we get to Christmas there. And so maybe they just want to make sure that, you know, he's where he needs to be and they were in a tough spot. I don't know. But it was, yeah, what you're getting at there, I couldn't help but notice it as well.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
So we've talked about Maryland, about Gonzaga, about North Carolina, about, you know, their notable results from this weekend. Elsewhere in the sport, there were some other notable results. Kentucky got its first meaningful win of the season in London over Michigan. Indiana lost at Rutgers. Creighton lost to Nebraska at home. Marquette lost to Wisconsin at home. Louisville dropped to 0-8, got blown out again. Cal dropped to 0-9. Deadleg, walk us through what we need to know in addition to the things we've already discussed.
The only thing I had here in my notes that we didn't get on the first start of it was I do want to note that in two games against Baylor, Drew Timmy's averages are 10.5 points, 5.0 rebounds, 2.0 assists, 2.0 blocks, 2.5 turnovers, and 4.5 fouls. So Baylor sold out to keep Timmy in check, and it wound up paying off. I thought both those teams would crack 80. Neither cracked 65. Obviously a good win for Baylor. Shouts to Huck and the whole crew there. That was a good one for BU to come off after getting beat against Marquette. So I wanted to give a little shine. Let's start on Kentucky, Michigan.
If Gonzaga does transition to the Big 12, do you think that means Drew Timmy just says, all right, enough is enough. I got to get out of here.
I think Timmy's eligibility, as hard as it may be to believe, I think Timmy's eligibility might be expired by the time that Gonzaga were to move to the Big 12, if that does happen. So they might be spared.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to start with this and Hunter Dickinson and this dude making predictions because he's got to stop.
He's got to stop. I noticed this too. He's got to shut up.
If you're watching on YouTube, Nada just brought it up. This is from 2021. He's calling out Lance Ware, who's on Kentucky. This was when, because the Kentucky Michigan game was scheduled like 2 years ago, whatever. It got pushed back because of COVID. It got bumped. And so, it was, you know, and it wasn't ideal. Our friend Pat Forty said, why is Kentucky playing Michigan at 1 o'clock on an NFL Sunday when the World Cup is also happening? And, you know, it just, that's when they could get the game. And I don't know. I'm glad they played the game. It's better than not playing the game. And so when this happened and initially the game got pushed, Hunter Dickinson, as you can watch if you're watching on video here, says, tell your man Cal to stop ducking. We want that smoke. Hunter, you're a wonderful trash talker. Or at least you're a willing trash talker. I mean, but this is becoming, he is becoming the Drake equivalent of college basketball players for predictions. I actually think this is going on right now. Not good.
Because earlier in the season, he predicted that they would beat Arizona State by 20 and they lost by, what did they lose by? 25.
Yeah, it was bad.
Predicted a 20-point win and lost by 25. And then he told a Kentucky player to get Cal to stop ducking. And then, of course, Kentucky beats a Michigan team today for its first meaningful win. And the loss is also notable for Michigan because Jalen Llewellyn suffered a non-contact injury that didn't look good. I haven't heard the update yet. Keep in mind, didn't even know Southern Miss lost today. It didn't look good. It didn't look good. I am a doctor on this podcast, if you remember, but I'm not going to diagnose him, but it didn't look good.
He was helped off the floor with 8:40 to go. It was extremely ginger when he had to be helped off and went back into the locker room. Michigan was down 6 at that point. They were mostly able to keep even the rest of the way, but yeah, that starting point guard right now, the Wolverines are 5-3. We talk about other teams. Like, Wolverines don't have a record right now. They weren't ranked as highly in the preseason as the likes of obviously Carolina Gonzaga, but expected to be right. You know, when we couldn't decide who would be the Big Ten favorite, or some couldn't, it was like, well, it could be Indiana. It could be Illinois. It could be Michigan. Purdue wasn't in that conversation. Wolverines are 5-3, don't have a top 75 KenPom win right now. Won't get a chance at another one until later this month when they get Carolina, of all teams. You want to talk about a game that could have some real urgency? That's in Charlotte's Jordan Brand Classic. Shouts to Nada. He will be on hand for that. Dickinson did have a good game, 23-9. Like, he did well for himself, but I thought the Wolverines were done in by some inconsistent rebounding efforts and some shaky two-point shooting from the guards overall, and then not having Llewellyn was a problem. I do want to give a shout to Cason Wallace, man. He might grow in. Kentucky has the reigning national player of the year, and Cason Wallace might grow into the most important all-around player for Kentucky as the season goes along. He defensively, if he's not elite yet, he is knocking on that door. He gets spacing. He knows when and how to be aggressive. He hit a big three to make it a 71-66 game with 1:10 to go that gave Kentucky a little bit of buffer after Michigan shrunk the gap late. GP. He's just been, to me, one of the top five freshmen in the country to this point. And on Sunday, he had 14 points, was 4-4 from three-point range, had 8 boards, 5 assists. A little inconsistent from the foul line, but it paired well with the fact that Shibuya went for 13-14. Maybe that will ultimately, we got to get a little bit more with Kentucky to know. And I want to get your quick thoughts on this before I move around the whip around here. But I'm almost thinking like this, if Kentucky is going to, because this, as you noted, first notable win of the season for UK. it might need to be like Sheboy 1A, Kaysen 1B, and they're going to need other guys, but it can't be just everyone hopes Sheboy drags us across the line like last season. I don't think that method's going to work.
No, if you talk to, you know, the recruiting analysts, the guys who saw Kaysen Wallace a lot more than we did on the grassroots circuits, one of the things they would tell you was going to translate quickly, which isn't always true for freshmen or NBA rookies, is that he's going to be able to guard his position well. And like, he's just put together too. You know, he's not some skinny kid. Like, he's put together pretty good, moves really well. You know, the question mark on him is, you know, 3-point shooting. You know, as far as being a great college player or a, you know, a great NBA prospect. And, you know, that's still a work in progress, clearly, but he did knock down a big three for Kentucky late with like 68 seconds to go. It was a 2-point game. And so he misses this. Michigan rebounds. They're coming the other way with a chance to tie or take the lead. He made it so that 2-point game becomes a 5-point game, and Kentucky pretty much controlled it from there. So, you know, Kentucky still doesn't have the big wins that some other teams in this country already have, but that was obviously, I always think of things like this, like games like this, of what's the best thing about it. And I think the best thing about it for Kentucky isn't that it added a win. It's that it avoided another loss to an, and this time a loss to an unranked team. You know, they didn't need to lose another game, you know, given that fan base and the pressure and criticism John has dealt with over the past couple of years. They needed to win this game. It was a big game for them. I think bigger for them probably than it is for Michigan. And they handled business when they needed to. Good job.
You mentioned the Creighton, Nebraska. If you're watching on YouTube, shouts to Mo, Buffalo's finest. Nebraska, I hope this, I did not sound check this. You better be able to hear the start.
Super thick chunks of broken life and reality.
Shouts to Nebraska. Did you hear that, JP?
I did hear that. You were, let the record show, credit where credit's due. You're much better at prepping your music than I am my trivia times, at least today. And perhaps always.
That. This is Nebraska by the band Mo.
Have the dinner table come to me.
That's a great tune. Tin Cans and Car Tires, 2003. Good jam band record. Nebraska gets the win. Let's give a little love to Nebraska before we touch on Creighton. Nebraska has now won, and these are the small steps, but they mean a ton. Florida State's terrible this season, right? They just lost another player to the for the year to injury. Like, the FSU campaign is done, man. Like, I hate to say it, but it is. They're 1-9. Florida State better thank the likes of Cal and Louisville for existing the way they have to start, because those teams haven't won. FSU is aberrationally, inexplicably terrible, and they lost against Nebraska. Nebraska's won against Florida State, Boston College, and Creighton. Three power conference programs in a row. At least you're getting a little bit of momentum there for Fred Hoiberg's program. No, I don't think that Nebraska is going to wind up being an NCAA tournament team, but you go into Omaha. No, I do not have Omaha by Counting Crows ready to go. Although also a very good tune.
I can do it. Dun, 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 dun. Something like that, isn't it?
That's that was something. 63-53. And as like we were, you know, dun, prepping for podcast, dun. I could try and get it ready for you, but you know, YouTube, like they got the ad.
It YouTube starts like that. It starts just like that.
I will. Doesn't I will it? Now. It, yes, it does.
I'll just keep doing it till we get it for real.
Oh, you want me to get it? I'm going right now. Here we go. I got to make sure there's not an ad though. And there's an ad. I got to let this ad play through first. So you go ahead. Go ahead.
That's the beginning of Omaha.
All right. So skip the ad. I know. So now I got to get this ready since you wanted to do this. Here we go. Yes. Here. And 3, 2, 1.
Told you. It started just like that.
Yeah. The worst part of the song is the start of the song. It gets a lot better.
Told you. I had it there.
And you know what? Your cue is actually pretty decent there. I'll give you credit for that. So shout out
to Nebraska. People don't realize I was once nicknamed the Pele of Horn Lake. But also the second coming of Adam Duritz.
Oh. Yeah.
People thought if I didn't go into this, I would front a band like Counting Crows. That's what people used to say.
But I always welcome your singing. In Omaha, Creighton loses a third consecutive game. Losing the Maui title game to Arizona, sure. Lose at Texas, of course. Dropping to Nebraska. Goodness. So Creighton 6-3. Next up is BYU in Las Vegas this weekend, and then they will get Arizona State.
They'll get Arizona State.
Man, is there a worse place in the world for BYU to be than Las Vegas? Whole damn team going to be suspended by the Sunday. You got to be careful out there, man. You got to be careful.
I swung the door wide open on that one. Wide open. Creighton yet another.
That feels like entrapment to me. That feels like entrapment to me. You ever been in a casino late at night?
Their coach's name is Pope.
You literally have to turn down prostitutes at a certain point of the night in Las Vegas. You have to tell them no. It's not like you have to look for them. You have to say, no, no, thank you. Let me tell you about that. I don't want to tarnish any hotel. But I was at a hotel in Las Vegas, and it was late at night. And I get into, you know, I was at another place, and I Ubered back to my hotel, and I got in the elevator, and a woman very noticeably gets into the elevator with me. And I'm like going up to floor 17 or 28 or whatever. And so I politely say, what floor do you need? And she said, I had already pushed like 24.
Whatever floor you're going to, honey.
I swear. I pushed like 24 and I said, what floor do you need? And she said, 24. And I said, oh, okay. And we're riding up. And she says, so you looking for some company tonight? And I said, no, I'm not.
By the popular 1990s big Counting Crows.
No, I said, I looked right at her and I said, she said, are you looking for some company tonight? And I said, I'm not looking for some company. I'm just going to go into my room and go to sleep. But I do appreciate you asking. And then the elevator doors open and I walk out and I'm walking down the hall. And right before the elevator doors close, I swear to you, this woman yells at me, have fun jacking off. I was like, what? What?
I was verbally assaulted.
I was like, have fun doing what? How did you just yell that to me? I was being polite to you. Yeah. I was being polite.
You know what? Like our longtime listeners, I think you've told that once on the podcast before. If you haven't, I've heard it. I forgot that I'd heard it, but you've definitely told that story to me before.
And so I just went in my room and I just sat there. I was like, did she really just kind of know how to respond?
Oh man, oh man.
It was a tough scene. It's a tough scene.
We really did. We made the turn from Nebraska basketball to that. Anyway, all right. I'll be quick on this. Creighton has lost three in a row, dropped 63-53 at home to Nebraska. Yet another preseason top 10-ish level kind of team that is getting off to a rocky start overall from a records perspective. We'll see. We got a few more days of interesting games here before finals really take hold, and we won't have too much stuff, but we can kind of come up for air and maybe resurface this topic on a pod in the next one, two, or three episodes. Because there is, if you really look at what the top 10 is now versus what it was in the preseason, there's, you know, no shortage of surprises. Okay, quick whip around here. I'm going to go through this and you give me any reaction. Here we go. Without it dealing with prostitutes.
Yes. I'll do my best to stay on topic.
Rutgers got a top 10 home win in December for a second straight year. 2021, dramatic topple of Purdue on Saturday. No doubt about it. Takedown of Indiana. Hoosiers managed only 30% shooting and were ineffective down low. Indiana did get 21 for Miller-Kopp, but that was the only bright spot. Did you know before I texted you this today that Rutgers is 7-1 in its past eight games against Indiana? 7-1.
I know Indiana fans love to point a lot of stuff out to me, but they've never pointed that out.
Rutgers, Indiana. It ain't a fair fight, my man. They've won five in a row, by the way, has Rutgers. So good on Rutgers. Shouts to Drizzy Mike's Arena.
And this is rough for us because, like, Indiana's got a significant fan base and the internet's out rest of the weekend. And so, you know, we lose viewers when this happens to Indiana. So nobody's rooting for this. It's not good for the pot.
Good for Rutgers that you really shut them down big time. That was a nice win, you know, buried amidst obviously a busy Saturday with World Cup and college football. Not sure what's the better bit of news for Villanova. They were sorely in need of of all the good news they could get. What's better, that they got Cam Whitmore finally making his debut, or the fact that they found some resolve and managed to hold off Oklahoma in a 70-66 home win Saturday on CBS. Whitmore logged 7 points and 3 boards in 20 minutes. Caleb Daniels had a team-high 22, and he had a three-pointer with about 58 seconds to go that helped swing the result to Villanova. It was actually a pretty damn good game. Villanova is now 3-5, as a reminder, 3-5. Has Penn at home Wednesday. That game will mark Jay Wright's CBS Sports debut on a call. He'll be on the color call for CBS Sports Network. Before I go to the next game, are you going to be in studio? Typing that out. You are you going to be in studio this week, or are you at home?
No, I will be in studio Wednesday night. So Jay will be in the building for the Villanova game that's on our air. And when they go to halftime, you'll see my pretty face.
There we go. Looking forward to it. Elsewhere, real quick, top ranked Houston will remain number. Just a reminder, that's the number one team in the country. Will remain number one in AP's top 25. Houston got a tug from St. Mary's in front of like 350 people in Fort Worth late on Saturday night, but they won 53-48. Cougars are allowing only 48 points per game right now. Marcus Sasser had his shoulder pop out near the end of the game. I did see Seth Davis right before we started podcasting. Said he texted with someone in Houston, said that Sasser's actually expected to go against North Florida. After the game, Sampson said the shoulder thing won't have any long-term effects. I thought he'd sit out for North Florida because Alabama has a huge home tilt against, Houston has a huge home tilt against Alabama. That should be a top 10 matchup after the rankings regenerate on Monday. Bama should jump into the top 10. Houston will stay at number one. That's a big one. We'll have to know if St. John's is for real, or at least wait a couple more weeks for it. Johnnies have a bad non-con slate, lost their first shot against a legitimate top 50 foe, losing, in casual fashion against Iowa State. So we'll wait on that, Johnnies. I know fans are waiting to see if they're really good. I don't know. We'll see, but I want to know that. And then two more. Xavier. One against West Virginia, ended the game on a 14-4 run. Sule Boom, former UTEPper, might end up as a top 15 transfer guy this season. Had 23 points, 7 assists. Jack Nungy, 17-14 there. That was an important victory for Xavier, who needed another win over a high major non-con foe. Xavier 6-3, West Virginia 6-2. Neither team will be ranked in Monday's AP refresh. And oh, by the way, Zach Edey, 31 points, 22 rebounds in the Big Ten opener for Purdue against Minnesota. Still very much the National Player of the Year front runner 1 month into the season.
Zach Edey, I saw a tweet from Bart Torvik earlier where he said he manually decreased. Did you see this? He said he manually decreased in the preseason Zach Edey's minutes per game projection because it was spitting out numbers that were just seemed too excessive. And he was like, I made a mistake. I should have just left it alone. Like, I guess the, what he was saying is that when he ran the numbers normally, it spit out some ridiculous Zach Edey stuff that he was like, this can't be right. And it's looking more right than what he actually produced when he manually adjusted. Like, Edey has been a monster this season.
Yeah, and he's number one in KPOI right now. I think the distance is ridiculous, right? Yeah, he is so far ahead right now, KenPom Player of the Year algorithm, Edey. And then it is a waterfall. And then it's Jalen Wilson, Marcus Sasser, Drew Timmy, Adama Sinogo in the top five right about there. So it was a pretty loud and noisy weekend. What about for the next 2 days before we convene again on Wednesday morning, GP? What should people be on the lookout?
Okay, so there's nothing great on Monday's schedule, though Gonzaga-Kent State is worth monitoring. It's worth monitoring.
Two reasons why. First reason is when I talked to Few last week in Portland, he was in complimenting Kent State being like, why the hell did we schedule this game? Because it is not an automatic. Kent State, I think they're top 100 in multiple predictive metrics right now. They are top two team in the MAC. And how about this? Per Torvik getting a lot of love on this episode, Kent State has been the 12th most efficient team so far this season. Top 12 in efficiency. Both ends of the floor. That game is unquestionably giving Mark Few anxiety. So just keep an eye out for it. That's the only one really of note for Monday. And that is, GP, that is a 9. Are you a Root Sports dude? That's a 9 o'clock tip on Monday, Eastern Time, Root Sports. So I don't know if that's a Pac-12 network situation for you or not.
I have every channel that exists except the Pac-12 network. I'm what they call a Pac-12 network denier. You know how like some people deny the moon landing? Yeah. I deny the Pac-12 network. Like people say that it exists, but I've never seen it, and I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I'm a Pac-12 network denier. Sue me. I'm a Pac-12 network denier, but I got roots. I got all the root sports. I got so much root sports. Can't wait to watch it.
Keep it root down,
baby.
Can't
wait to watch it. If you need a login, you let me know. Kent State, to put some numbers on it, is 72nd at KenPom, and they played at Houston a 49-44 game. Like, they played the number one team in the country to a five-point game, just last week. More specifically, I'll give you the date, November 26th. So, again, not going to be a big headline heading in, but that Gonzaga-Kent State game could get interesting. I mentioned if you need a login, I had a lot of people asking for my Peacock login. It was fine. It was fine.
He gave me the login and it did work.
I even changed my password and gave it to Yonata. And I haven't changed it back. So if you want to watch like a bunch of episodes of The Office or some WWE, feel free. Knock yourself out. My Peacock login is your Peacock login. I will say it was good. It worked. But I did. You know when you watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime and you go, this doesn't look like this looks beautiful. It does not look like streaming as much as it just looked beautiful. The Peacock thing, I say this respectfully, but when I watched Gonzaga Baylor, something looked a little off.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
That's all. Did you notice anything? Nothing.
It seemed like a solid enough broadcast effort by a platform that normally doesn't broadcast college basketball, but perhaps this criticism will find its way back.
Yeah, no, I'm not criticizing anybody.
They're going to have Big Ten stuff. Like, that's actually going, like, I will eventually need to pony up and pay for Peacock. I'm not going to use your login here indefinitely, but they will have Big Ten basketball games and some other stuff. Like, they are part of the new media rights deal with the Big Ten and other networks. So that's certainly one to keep in mind.
I enjoyed the broadcast. I want to be clear. It's just that when I, just with my eyeballs on it, just visually, I was like, this doesn't look as clean or smooth or crisp as like some of the other sporting events I've seen streamed. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, hit the button if you want to.
There we go. Tuesday night, good doubleheader. I'll be there in Madison Square Garden. Illinois, Texas. Ooh, that's a nice one. And then Duke, Iowa, 9:30, Jimmy V. And so we will almost certainly lead on one of those results when we talk on Wednesday morning. And I just hope we get two really, really good games. This will be obviously a huge spot for it. Like, Illinois, good team, gotten some good runs so far. Texas, highly ranked, yet to take a loss. Obviously, Duke is Duke. And then Iowa hasn't really, like, this will be the first big moment for Iowa and Chris Murray, like, on this kind of stage. We'll see, you know, if they can, not only can they play well, but can they knock Duke off? The irony of a thing like that for Iowa is if you do that, you know, not saying that has to be the case here, but Duke becomes the story. Duke losing is a bigger story than Iowa winning. But if Iowa were to win, would be yet another result, on the plus side for the Big Ten in that regard. Speaking of the Big Ten, we mentioned before, just a reminder, Maryland will play at Wisconsin Tuesday night at 9:00. And then this is a good one. If I was not going to Jimmy V, I would make the trip down to New Rochelle to see this game. Sneaky good, mid-major adjacent-esque game. St. Louis is playing at Iona. That is a quality game. St. Louis, credit to Travis. I don't know what the deal. Ford and Patino having the relationship, really? Obviously. So, but that's got to be it, right? I'm pleasantly surprised to see St. Louis willingly going and playing on the road to play Iona. That's a tricky. Like, that will pay off big time if you get the win from a resume perspective. I actually think that will. But that's, if you're St. Louis, you kind of know, like, as an A-10 program, unless we're getting to the start of the A-10 tournament and we're sitting there with like 27 wins, like, we could be in a precarious position. So, credit to Ford for doing it. I was surprised to see it. And yeah, it's actually, I wish it was if it was tomorrow night, I'd go down. I'm not, I'm barely an hour from New Rochelle, but the fact that it's happening the same night as Jimmy V, it will get overshadowed, but it'll mean something significant on the resume, no matter what, when we look down the road and we're parsing out resumes for the tournament.
So you'll be at the Jimmy V.
Yep.
And I'll be flying. So I'll wave to you from an airplane or something like
that. So you're going to be flying Tuesday night when I'm at the Jimmy V.
Yeah, I'm flying Tuesday.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
There we go.
Ooh. Boom, boom.
I got a great Get your money back at the door. You know what? Take us out. I'm going to get this a nice level. Nana, we can go out on this. Let's end this. Let's end this Sunday episode, JP, with a little Omaha.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Larnell. Shouts to Huck. Shanks. Shouts to Maria.
There we go.
She said. She says she's dying.
Okay. Different song.
I know. But why would she tell you that? Why would Maria say she's dying?
Remember the song that you're quoting right now?
Of course, around here. Shouts to Sullivan Street.
There we go.
Shouts to Holiday, taking a holiday in Spain.
Oh, yeah. Shouts to Hard Candy, underrated album from Counting Crows. Release year 2010.
I like Hard Candy. It's the same old Hard Candy. Shouts to... What if we just sat here for another 30 minutes shouting out random Counting Crows stuff?
Well, we got about another 20 seconds, so you better get out on that.
Thank you for listening to the Iowa College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can listen to the how amazing is like Apple Podcast, Apple and Spotify these days. You can listen to the Iowa College Basketball Podcast or August and Everything After. Whatever you want to, it's all there. Everything's right there. So go do that. Leave a nice review, 5 stars. Type some words. There's more of us than there are of them. That's a fact. We're going to talk to you again on Wednesday. Till then, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Magical! Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.